Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Patrick Lindemann. He is the Ingham County Drain Commissioner. He's on the other end of our line. Patrick, how are you?
Good morning, Tony.
Well,
good morning, Mid-Michigan.
Yeah, we appreciate having you on the program. We wanted to get you back on after we had Mark Grebner, who is an Ingham County Board of Commissioners member. He was on the program yesterday, and we were talking about his run for your current position. And he made some very frank and forward accusations about you and your staff. He believes that the staff is incompetent and inexperienced when it comes to the duties of working in the Drain Commission Department. He believes that you have wasted millions of dollars, and when you find that you are over your budget, wherever that might be, you find a way to have people have to have their property reassessed at a higher price so you could get more funds in. Some challenging allegations there, and obviously we wanted you to have an opportunity to respond.
Well, thank you, Tony. Why don't we, I didn't listen to all of his allegations, but I'll try to go through them in some efficient order to respond to them, if that's okay with you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. Well, he talks about me being in the pocket of a Clark Hill law firm. That's an interesting comment, since I hire many law firms, Miller Canfield, Foster Swift, Mel McWilliams Law Firm, Opiter Law Firm, just to name a few of them. I wonder if I'm in the pocket of all of those. I mean, how could I be in the pocket of all of those? Clark Hill does some work for me. I hire lawyers and engineers because of their talent, not because they pay to play or any of those kinds of things. And I'm not in any of their pockets. You don't have to contribute to my campaign or contribute to me to get work with me. There's no evidence of them paying to play. And I think it's just a ridiculous, it's absolutely ridiculous allegations that just are, they're silly. There's no facts behind them at all. He suggests that you have to have, he uses the term pay to play in some of his correspondence. He suggests that there's corruption. Now, let me tell you something. I have contractors and professionals that I have hired and given jobs who have never contributed dime to me or benefited in any way, shape, or form from them. I have contractors and professionals who have donated to my campaign that I've never hired. And I have some contractors and professional services that have donated to my campaign, and I've hired them, too. So I don't know, what is it? Do I have a system of pay-to-play? Some of them pay to play, or some of them never paid and they play. You know, some of them have paid and never played. So I don't know what that is all about. I mean, there's just no factual basis to his allegations on that. I use a hiring practice called QBS. It's called QBS because it means quality-based selection. It's recommended by professionals across the country. The American Society of Civil Engineers recommends it as a hiring practice for professional services. Now, I bid out all of my contractual work. The people on bulldozers and the construction crews and all of that get bid it out. Hiring a professional like a land surveyor or a wetland expert or a limnologist or a herpetologist or any of the people that I have to hire to do my projects for me is done on a QBS process, which means that they have to first be qualified. I have a vendor's list of people who are qualified, and I pick from them based upon their talent to perform the best service to the taxpayers of this county. And when they're done doing their service, we have better projects, and we've saved millions of dollars. And I'm not kidding you when I say millions of dollars. It takes less time to produce a product, and the product is better when it's done, and it saves money. It saves hundreds of thousands of dollars. The projects are better. There's no rationale to his accusing me of being corrupt in that fashion. Let's compare some of the projects that he's been involved in that he's proud of. 911 Center, 53% over budget, years of delay, huge time delays. CATA, we got bus drivers that are making over $100,000 a year. Is that an efficient way to run a system? He's proud of those systems. Let's contrast that with my drain projects. They're always on time and under budget. I use QBS, Thank you, QBS, for saving the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and coming up with better projects. There's just no comparison to what he's talking about, and none of it is true. How about the political hacks? We have allegations that I hire political hacks. Well, let's do some contrasting. Let me see. He's got George Brookover as his personal attorney, the attorney from a firm which he used to own, that he drove into bankruptcy and had to sell to get out of debt. And he's now the county road commission's attorney. I don't know. What do you think about that? Is that pay to play? Is that some kind of a political hack hiring? Let's look at Mark Thomas, one of his political advisors and campaign manager for his little campaign that he's running. Appointed last year to the road commission, has zero knowledge of transportation issues. And I mean zero. He's not a transportation engineer. He's not a traffic engineer. He doesn't know anything about managing roads or constructing roads. And yet he's on the road commission, appointed and voted on by Mark Thomas. And you can go down a whole line of political appointments that Mark Thomas has been, or that George Brookover and Mark Thomas are just part of, that Mark Bredner has voted for and appointed, that are, for all intent and purpose, almost all of them are, have some political background, former county commissioners like Mark Thomas, and so on. Let's contrast that with my political appointments, as he says, called some political hacks. Let's say Paul Pratt, one of my deputies. Paul Pratt is one of the nicest, gentle, honest, and ethical people I have ever met in my life. When I appointed him as deputy drain commissioner, I didn't even know him that well. I knew of him. He wasn't a friend of mine. We didn't socialize together or anything. I was impressed by his resume. He's a really good lawyer. He's extraordinarily smart, and he's very competent, and he has some background in county government, being on the county board of commissioners.
Does he have any background when it comes to being a deputy drain commissioner?
Absolutely. Being deputy drain commissioner means managing public resources and working within the confines of county government. He has an experience there. And as it turns out, he's actually quite smart when it comes to earth sciences, geology, water movement, and all of that. Okay? Then there's Carla Close, another deputy of mine, who is recognized around the state as an expert in wetland protection, wetland regulation, and ecosystem management. She's touted around the state by all kinds of people like DEQ as one of the best soil erosion and sedimentation control people in the state. In fact, the program that she runs for our office is rated one of the top, is the top, not one of, but the top agency for Part 91 of Public Act 451, the Soil Erosion and Sedimentation Control Act. And they use our office as a model for other counties to strive to be. And she, none of these, neither one of these two appointments that I have there are political hacks. And Mr. Bredner says that my staff is incompetent. I'll stand behind my staff, and I think that's a direct insult to my staff and my two deputies who have worked countless hours on behalf of the county taxpayers to provide adequate services and to make sure that all of the jobs are done right. In fact, Paul Pratt and Carla Close work easily 50, 65 hours a week over their 40-hour limits and only get 40 hours paid, and they do it because they love their job and they're really good at it and they want to do a good job. For him to insult them with his statements is unforgivable. He owes them a great big public apology. He owes the staff that I have in my office, which, by the way, when I took office in 1993, I had the equivalent of 6 general fund staffers. Today, I have 6 general fund staffers. Some of them have been there for the full time, and some of them not. I'm very proud of my talented staff that serves the public. We do an outstanding job in serving the public and accomplishing the goals and objectives of protecting this infrastructure that I'm in charge of.
All right, one question.
So his allegations are just absolutely absurd.
All right, one question I want to ask you about is the Cook and Thornburg drain, which is otherwise called the Cedar Lake case. That
sure.
was a very time-consuming, very costly issue that ended up in court. There was a fight with the state. And there are a lot of people, including residents, who thought that that just wasn't handled right by the Drain Commissioner's Office. Respond to that.
Oh, I'd love to respond to it. In fact, I just met with the head of the DEQ a week ago, accompanied by Delhi Township and some residents that are paying those high assessments. They are high assessments. They're absurd assessments. The DEQ ordered me to do that project. They ordered me to undo a project, which they ordered me to do back in 1993. And they forced this project down the taxpayers' throats and forced me to do this project. There were 15 associated lawsuits. If I'd have done exactly what the DEQ ordered me to do, we would have not gotten any benefit from the first project that was done down there in 2003, and it would have cost $35 to $50 million, depending on how it was executed, to put no water, storm water, in Cedar Lake. Cedar Lake is a man-made gravel pit. They stopped digging it back in 1986, and the issue really here is, does the storm water from these storm drains, these ditches that run down there in these pipes, go into Cedar Lake? It did before, and it does today. They're saying don't put any polluted water in the lake. In order for me to manage that watershed, I have to have somewhere around 300 acre-feet of water storage when it rains to meet our requirements so no one gets harmed and protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. They ordered me not to put it where it gets stored today. It gets stored in that gravel pit, 400 acre-feet. That's the equivalent of a football field, 300 feet high. They wanted me not to put it there. Instead of not putting it there, I actually created a very clever, using very talented professional engineers, a very talented staff to execute it, and really good contractors to build it. And what we wound up with is a treatment train to treat the water before it got to the lake. And it's a full-service treatment train that cleans the storm water and puts it in the lake for storage while it can move downstream without flooding anybody. And I'm working with the state of Michigan right now to get some of that money reimbursed back to those taxpayers, because the state ordered that project, and I believe they ought to belly up to the bar and pay their fair share.
All right,
Pat. Here's another thing. That project came in under budget and on time, and we're reimbursing back to those taxpayers somewhere in the vicinity of $800,000 that we saved on that project.
All right,
Mr.
Pat.
Mr. Brebner's wrong. He's just wrong.
All right, Patrick, before I let you go, he said that your department's in disarray. He's coming after you. He says he's going to win that spot, keep it just for one term, and then let somebody else get in there.
Well, let me tell you something. He claims that my permits get lost in la-la land and somewhere. In 2011, our permits were issued back to the citizens who applied for them in less than 4 days. In 2010, it was less than 3 days. On average, a lot of the permits that we issue and what we have to do regulation on are issued the same day. It's not only not in disarray, it's one of the most well-oiled, well-functioning offices in the state, and it's used as an example by other drain commissioners around the state.
All right, Patrick, you know, I've got to get to a break. We appreciate your time. I know we'll be talking again. Thank you so much.
Hey, Tony, thank you so much, and good morning, America.
Yeah.